B-Pod Studios.
.985 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and people are saying Flynn was in yesterday.
Oh, all right. Could be him.
Could be.
Huh.
I have not heard yet whether or not that's something you just drink during the day. Somebody makes a good point. Just say you don't drink Muscle Milk for the taste, so it's not like you're picking up like a Fresca or something like that.
I got one. I think you were on it. People use it as a meal replacement.
Really? See, I didn't know that.
So if it's like, hey, I skipped a meal, I'm going to work in a Muscle Milk instead. I guess.
Well, that's I'm not hearing a lot of that, but maybe that is the case. I tend to believe that it was Sarge. Well, we were talking about Rob Gronkowski, and you know we are past the 2 weeks that Gronk said that he was going to take to make a decision. Remember during Super Bowl week, very laid back, very happy. I know that during the Kansas City game, Gronk had his entire family there, and many people were speculating it was because it could have possibly been his last game. It's not a normal thing. Giselle didn't go out to Kansas City. I mean, this was something that stood out as being maybe a little bit of evidence that he was considering retirement. However, this is somewhat interesting. Mike Reese reported yesterday, quote, "It might not mean anything significant as it relates to career intentions, but tight end Rob Gronkowski saying he is weighing his football future. He is still showing up at Gillette Stadium and showed up multiple times over the past couple of weeks. He made a visit to a Boston Children's Hospital on Wednesday with his family, spending time with parents and donating $80,000. Though he might be visiting Gillette Stadium simply for treatment of his thigh, I also view his time at the facility as a reflection of his being in a good place with how the season ended, both team-wise and personally. That doesn't guarantee his return in 2019, but it figures to at least be part of his decision-making process on whether to continue his career." I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that the fact that he's going there and he has yet to say anything, and then there was the video with Tom Brady. I was leaning towards, after the Super Bowl was over, I was leaning more towards him staying.
Me too.
Than leaving.
Me too.
I might not have said that a couple weeks beforehand, but the way everything ended, and it was like a feel-good story, and for most people, or a lot of people, they would say, okay, well, that's the way I want to end it. That's how I want to be done. However, what if you got Tom Brady, who comes up and tells you, I just think that Tom Brady, even Rob Gronkowski, is absolutely mesmerized by this guy. And obviously he said he would never play for anyone else other than Tom Brady. You're telling me that if the Patriots indeed wanted him to take a pay cut, Rob Gronkowski, although Burt Breer thinks that there's a chance they might not ask him to take a pay cut at all. They think that after this postseason, Burt says there's a chance that they might just go and just let things be and let the contract play out the way that it is. I'm not as optimistic as Burt. But even if they asked him for a little bit of a pay cut, you're telling me that if Tom Brady went up to him and said, Rob, my whole life I've taken pay cuts, taken a lot of pay cuts to keep good talent around me and because I love the game of football, let's do this one more year. Maybe it's a little bit less, but I think that we can also do something amazing for one more year and we need you here. I need you to win. You need to be here. Let's win one more. You're telling me that he wouldn't go, okay.
So I don't think he'd take a pay cut, but I am leaning towards him coming back. And how they figure that number out, I mean, Brady could take less, and that way Gronk gets his number. I mean, there are other guys they could release up and down the roster. Dwayne Allen would free up a bunch of money easily on this team. So I'm leaning towards him returning, too, and I wouldn't have said that until certainly before the AFC Championship game. I wasn't saying that.
Sure.
And I just think, yeah, the video with him and Brady, I thought that was pretty telling. Maybe that's just the emotions and the immediate aftermath.
I did too.
That swung me a little bit, to be honest.
Sure. And it's something so stupid that a lot of people are writing off, but I thought it was, you know, the fact that they just kind of
that's clearly what they were talking about.
Without a doubt. And I after looking at that, and also, you know what I think might also help is the fact that a bunch of idiots have come out and said that they'd actually have to think about whether or not putting Rob Gronkowski in the Hall of Fame, which, by the way, is ridiculous. And I don't want to get into that.
First ballot. Yeah.
But which once again, I think is ridiculous. I don't want to even have that conversation. Yep. It's stupid. But just the fact that it's out there, do you think that might be a little extra incentive to play another year? The fact that
just to tighten up his case,
just
and
to shut tighten up the
up.
Case a little bit.
I think that's low on the priority list.
You might be right. But it might be a little extra.
Yeah.
Might be a little something extra.
Sure. A little extra.
Did you make nothing out of that?
What, the Hall of Fame?
No, him continuing to come back. Overall, and like,
I think the Patriots have been nothing if not cold in calculating. I think they will approach Rob Gronkowski and ask him to take a pay cut, certainly because there are other players you have to worry about. Dont'a Hightower is one of them. You have to worry about getting them in and paying them what you think they're worth to fit everyone in under the cap and maybe add some people. I think they're going to approach him about a pay cut, and the question is to whether or not Brady will go to Gronk and say, you know, we want one more ride. I think that's absolutely going to happen. I mean, Tom versus time. First thing I remember when we were talking about the Brady-Gronk friendship is him driving away from Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
And the first person he called was Gronk. We miss you, baby. We need you. Obviously, the two of them are tight. And I think Brady's going to go to Gronk and say, we need you back one more season. Now, question is how bad...
Is Gronk going to say, fine, yeah, I'll come back, but I'm not taking less.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, where does he draw the line? I mean, is it $5 million? Is it $3 million? Is it $7 million? I mean, that's the question. The fact that he's going back and working out is certainly a positive sign, but I don't think it's the end-all be-all. Well, I think a lot of questions still need to be answered on both sides.
Well, the reason you might need to take a pay cut is there might be a certain backup quarterback that's going to get signed in the offseason, at least if you ask this person's lawyer on CNN.
I'm going to make a prediction, although I've been wrong once before on this. One of three teams picks him up. I mean,
three teams do you think will pick him up?
I think, look, the natural would be if Cam Newton is out, then the natural place to be is to play with Eric in Carolina. I mean, can you imagine... I will tell you, besides the Panthers, it would not surprise me if Bob Kraft makes a move.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that would not surprise me. And it would not surprise me if his former coach, I'll test your knowledge, also makes a move.
I don't know that one off the top of my head.
That is Colin Kaepernick's lawyer.
He did this before with TMZ, if you remember.
Oh, yeah. I just love it. I'm just going to throw this out there.
Yeah.
Bob Kraft.
Yeah.
Take that. And by the way,
why does he have to be so cryptic? Oh, I'm going to test your knowledge on this.
Pete Carroll,
we got it. Yeah, we got it.
You see, my whole thing was, I'm going to test your knowledge. I thought it was like a condescending comment. Yeah. Because you're a dame.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
You're
a woman. Listen,
I'm going to test your knowledge.
Make sure you pass the smell test here.
Okay. The Colin Kaepernick thing is hysterical. First of all, it would be great if it happened because people's heads would explode. But B, it's not going to happen. And one of the main reasons is that...
Here or period?
Period.
He's not coming back, period.
The thing about Colin Kaepernick is, I was one of those guys over the last couple seasons who anytime like a Nathan Peterman or somebody got out there, I would just laugh and I'd be like, dude, Colin Kaepernick is sitting there and he's a guy who's been to the Super Bowl. You know, he's good enough to be a backup, blah, 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 blah. But now we're sitting here, and the dude hasn't played in forever.
3 years.
Yeah, we don't know whether he can still play, and he hasn't shown any kind of desire to get out there and at least show the people in the NFL that he can still play. So what does that say?
Because that could only damage. I mean, if he really wanted to play, he would have gone the Manziel route and gone to the CFL or the AAF, who was scrambling for good quarter. Are you telling me that he's worse than Christian Hackenberg? I think for sure he would have said, okay, I'll go play in the AAF, dominate there, and show everyone how wrong they were for not signing me in the first place. I mean, there are other routes he could have gone. I don't. We talked about this at the end of last week. He doesn't want to play. He's much more visible this way than if he goes to the NFL, fails miserably, and disappears.
And the league's not letting him back in. Like that. That has to.
That's
be
the other part.
That has to be part of the settlement.
That's the other part of it.
And that's wrong. I'm not saying that should be the way it is, but that has to be part of the settlement. Wink and a nod. Hey, by the way, Colin, you're not coming back, right? Like
you think that's part of the settlement?
Yes. Florio wrote about this. I can find it on Pro Football Talk where. I forget the phrasing for it, but oftentimes in a settlement like this, when you are suing your employer, that's built into the settlement because what they don't want is somebody to come back with a future lawsuit and say, well, you're holding this against me because I sued you previously.
Yeah.
So it's common practice to build that in, and Florio thinks it's in there.
I just think that he's hit his expiration date of not playing. Like, you can't not play that long and expect someone to just pick you up.
I agree with that too, but I think they're like, hey, you're getting paid, you got your money, this is done. Like, I can't imagine the league is stupid enough to be like, oh, sure, make a big stink about it all over again so we can just pay you again. They're not going to do that.
Oh, but it would be the best.
Oh, if he signed here, it would be incredible.
It would be heads would absolutely
and he's better
explode.
Than Hoyer. He's better than Hoyer.
No matter how bad he is, he's better than Hoyer?
He's better than Hoyer.
I think you might be right about that.
Oh, and how crazy would that be? I mean, just because obviously, too, you know, because if you're Robert Kraft, you're kind of torn. Like, let's say you did want, because obviously he's been someone who has been very outspoken about racial injustices. I mean, just, you know, the whole thing with Meek Mill, getting him out of jail. He started that whole thing with Jay-Z. However, he is also friends with Donald Trump. So just imagine just how heads would explode if they ended up signing him to a team. I mean, that would be, RKK. I'm as woke as it gets, bros. Let's talk about, by the way, how about RKK, my man, still rocking the championship gold chain at the All-Star Weekend.
Unbelievable.
Love it.
That Meek Mill gave him.
Love it.
He's the best. Absolutely the best. But I want to see heads explode. That would be the greatest thing ever if he ended up getting signed.
Oh.
Just because everyone around the country's heads would... I mean,
I'm 1,000,000% in favor of it. I just 1,000,000% think it won't happen. If you're asking me what I think will happen, there's no chance. But I'm rooting for it. For sure I'm rooting for it.
Always root for chaos. Always root for the chaos in the NFL, especially if it's a team. Or in any sport. Especially if it's a local team. Because chaos is fun. Chaos is fun to cover.
Chaos is the best.
Chaos is the best. All right, speaking of chaos, let's get into, with Chris Forsberg, everything that happened this weekend was indeed Kyrie Irving conspiring with Kevin Durant to go to the Knicks this weekend.
I think that's obvious.
There is video evidence,
it's
apparently.
It's obvious that's happened. They actually video of them talking in a hallway.
If you believe the video... And you can actually make out what their lips are saying. Sounded like he was saying two max contracts.
See you in New York, bro.
We will talk to Chris Forsberg about that, as well as everything else going on with the Celtics right after.
Recovery Centers of America at Danvers and Westminster specializes in treatment for addiction to drugs and alcohol. Please call 1-800-RECOVERY or visit recoverycentersofamerica.com.
The presidential upgrade sales event is on at IRA. Get monumental savings on your favorite new vehicles. And remember, if the IRA oval is on your car, you know you got a great deal.
One more round. I think we got two more dunks.
We got one more round. That's it.
Hey, there goes one of my favorite people over there. America, one of my favorite people, Guy Fieri, is in the house tonight. So, Guy, hey, Guy Fieri, when you going to get me on? I want to be on Triple D's. We do it. Yeah, hey, Guy, get me on the show, brother. Junior.
The highlight of All-Star Weekend, Charles Barkley being distracted by Guy Fieri. How did they figure out a way to ruin the most pure and amazing of all the All-Star competitions in any sport? The three-point contest. And as I said, maybe they've been doing this for years and I just haven't noticed. How do you not end with a head-to-head? How do you not do that? Like, that's the three-point contest has always been out of the home run derby or even any of the NHL stuff. That was always the best. And to just end it the way that they did is such a disappointment. I can't even understand why you would change things around when that was the most perfect of all the competitions. But either way, there has been a lot of shenanigans. We said it earlier. You could have all-star games and all-star gatherings in every sport all around the country, but the NBA one, it ends up being just like Days of Our Lives. All the stuff that comes out of that and the drama and the reading into all of the different videos that have come out of people talking behind the scenes has been absolutely phenomenal, and Chris Forsberg is covering all of it for your Boston Celtics on NBC Sports Boston. Never a dull moment in the NBA, right, Chris?
Yeah, it felt like the Pruder footage this weekend, like Kyrie and Katie in a hallway and everyone's trying to read lips. And I'm like, oh, my God, what have we become?
Well, that to me, out of all the things that came out of it, that was one of the funniest. So there is a video that you're referencing, and it looks like they're just in the hallway over kind of by where the lockers are for the All-Star game. And Kyrie and Kevin Durant are talking with each other, and somebody at the bottom like transcribed what he thought they were saying, and you can't even tell first of all if the video's been manipulated or anything. And it looks like the way that it was written out was like, we're talking two max contracts they can give us. So of course everyone's heads explode and says Kyrie and Durant are conspiring to go to the Knicks. Out of all of the things that you heard this weekend, was there any kind of like rumors or talk or anything weird about Kyrie conspiring with anyone, including Anthony Davis, to come to Boston?
Well, no, I'll fully admit, I was sitting there and like I thought the almost everything about the All-Star game was terrible. But then when he was walking off the court at halftime with Anthony Davis, I was like, ooh, that's interesting. Like, and you know, people jump all over that. But the video in the hallway is my favorite, just because do we really think that he would be sitting there in the broad openness with a camera filming right next to him screaming about what they're going to do next season? And as a deaf kid who can read lips pretty good, there's nothing about what he's saying that makes me believe they're talking about contracts and all that. It's just hilarious to me. But that's what it's become. Is just like you said, Days of Our Lives. We're all sitting there and trying to read the tea leaves and figure out what they're planning for next season. And it's great theater, but man, I look forward to real basketball getting back.
Okay, what did you make of Anthony Davis? Because this is the first time he's been able to talk about this whole list thing and, you know, about Celtics being on the list. What did you make of his comments where he said that the Celtics are basically, what was his phrase, that 29 teams are on his list?
I never said the Celtics weren't on the list.
That's the way he phrased it. What did you make of his comments about that this weekend?
So I figured in the aftermath of the trade deadline, he would eventually start walking it back. And like, listen, he wasn't definitive where he's saying, you know, that like, oh, I want to go to Boston or anything like that. But he is starting to change the narrative a little bit. Like, let's face it. I mean, it was pretty transparent throughout the deadline. He wanted to go to L.A. His agent, who also represents LeBron James, did everything in their power to slander Boston and to try to get their client to Los Angeles. And it didn't work. But now that everybody's on equal footing, I think it's hard to think that Anthony Davis doesn't see positives in Boston and all that. And now, listen, he's got to keep up this ruse that he'll only go to L.A. after his next contract is up because he wants to continue to scare off bad teams that might make a run at him. But I do think you'll most slowly hear the tide turn and him say he's open to the idea of Boston or he likes Boston or his dad doesn't speak for him. He wasn't as definitive as it sort of sounded at first. Like when people started saying, oh, Boston's on the list, I, you know, ran to listen to the interview and, you know, it wasn't like he was gushing about him or anything, but you know, hey, the tide is turning and even if it didn't, I don't think Danny Ainge would be scared off from pursuing him.
Okay. So I saw you and Jackie McMullen yesterday predicting, you know, what percentage that Anthony Davis is going to be on the Celtics next year. And both of you had in the 80s or high 80s, but you had an interesting theory as to one reason why they would not sign Anthony Davis in the offseason.
Yeah, I just think if the Celtics go on a long run here, it's going to make Danny Ainge think a little bit harder because, I mean, the one thing that's pretty like universal around the league is everyone thinks Kevin Durant's going to the Knicks. And so the Warriors, their little super team is going to get broken up a little bit here. And they're still going to be good, but they won't be sort of the juggernaut. And so if the Celtics were to go on a run, win the East, even if you get to the final and lose, but you're at least competitive, I do think there's some semblance to this idea that, all right, you know, maybe you think about holding on to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Instead of giving up all these assets to get Anthony Davis, you just sort of ride it out with this core. Now, there's a couple things at play there. Like, Kyrie would have to be on board with that because, again, part of whatever you do this summer is built to make sure that he wants to stick around. So is he okay with this core? Is he knowing what they kind of went through this year and it's going to still take some time for those young guys to develop into championship material. But, you know, I still think the more likely scenario is that, you know, however this ends, whether that's a second round exit, having to go on the road or losing in the East Finals, however this thing ultimately ends, you know, the Celtics have the assets. And if Danny Ainge wants to make this a reality, he's going to do it. It comes down to whether he will put Jason Tatum on the table.
Now, I've seen you report that obviously that the Celtics would prefer not to include Jason Tatum in a package, but is there a package that they could offer the Pelicans that doesn't involve Jason Tatum that they would agree to?
The only way I can see that happening is if Davis became difficult this summer, went back to the whole idea of I'm not going to only like these four teams, and then all of a sudden the Pelicans, you know, don't have many trade options, and if they just weren't enamored with what the Lakers put on the table and were searching for something different, I could see a potential chance where Jaylen Brown and picks and, you know, Marcus Smart, whatever it would take to get them to agree to a deal. You know, that might be an attractive offer, but I don't know. I just don't think they waited out this process without the notion of either getting the number one pick from the lottery winner or getting Jason Tatum. They need something that they can sell their fan base on for the future, and this is the guy we're building around, and whether that's Zion Williamson or whether that's Tatum, you know, they need that centerpiece. I just don't know if Jaylen Brown and other parts are enough. Now, if Jaylen Brown is dominant in the second half of the year and into the playoffs and really starts to, you know, emerge, you know, then maybe it becomes easier to sell that trade. I just don't see any way right now that Tatum isn't in that deal.
What do we think of Tatum being the latest to guarantee a title?
I do find it kind of weird that when Jaylen Brown did it, we all, you know, sort of rushed to shake our fists at him and say, you know, why are you being stupid? And then Tatum does it and people love it. So, like, listen, I don't mind irrational confidence. I think it's actually good for young guys to think like that, and I think it's pretty harmless. I thought the phrasing of it was kind of like Rachel Nichols pretty much walked him into that question. I don't know if he said to her beforehand, like, hey, ask me about another prediction or what other titles I'm going to win. But it was just a weird way for him to phrase that. But again, you know, the Celtics have been sort of up and down, and I think for most of the season they've been sitting here sort of questioning themselves and whether they're going to figure it out. Like, I don't know if Tatum is the guy that you want to be the one saying that. Like, I'd probably rather hear Kyrie or Al Horford or one of the veterans say, yeah, we're going to figure this out. I've seen what we can do. But you know what? I mean, it was pretty harmless, and it hasn't, you know, if they go on a four-game losing streak here, everyone will attack him like they attacked Jaylen Brown.
Okay, so everyone seemed to be clutching their pearls last week when it came to Kyrie Irving playing in the All-Star game, and, oh, how horrible this week. It's a bad look, and the teammates are going to look at, how can he be a leader and do this? So from what you've seen from the other team members, do you believe that anybody had any problem on the Celtics with Kyrie Irving playing in the All-Star game?
No, I really don't think anyone cared. I'll admit, like, at first I was one of those people, like, angered by it, because I do think it's a bad look. But ultimately, like, it was harmless, and he made it through. Now, again, I go back to it. If he had bumped knees with somebody and was out for this Milwaukee game, your radio station would be 12 hours a day of
oh, yeah,
of why did Kyrie go out there, and Jones would be pouncing, but you can't.
I'll pounce either way for you.
Yeah, that is true. I should have. Like, in hindsight, every time I tried to get worked up about it, I was like, it's the damn All-Star game. Like, who cares? No one was expending effort out there. And, you know, I really don't get the sense, at least not yet, that teammates were put off by it. Like, listen, I think they understand. The Philly game in particular, he wanted to be out there. And I did hear he tried to get himself into the Detroit game before the end, and the Celtics were very cautious with him. So I put a lot of it on the team in terms of why they held him back there at the end. And, hey, listen, he got some run. As long as he's at full strength in that Milwaukee game, I don't think we should care.
All right, speaking about the Milwaukee game, obviously you play the best team in the NBA right out of the All-Star break. How big a game is this? Are we making too big a deal out of it? Is there a statement game? Does it really matter in the grand scheme of things?
It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but I'm all for hype, so we can get fired up about both that and the Toronto game a couple nights later. You know, the what sticks in my mind is that these are the two teams you're probably going to have to go on the road and beat in the playoffs. So you sort of got to show right now, while you're pretty much at full strength, while you're playing some good basketball, that you can be competitive in those situations. Because let's face it, maybe more so Toronto than Milwaukee, but really both, because you didn't win on the road in the playoffs at Milwaukee. You know, the Celtics have struggled against these teams on the road, so they've got to show they can go to those places and win those games. You know, they've always played up against good competition this year. They've obviously dominated Philly. But still, even if they get up to that three seed, having to go on the road twice is going to be daunting. You know, these aren't like, you know, make or break games, but that you do have to sort of give yourself a little confidence. And if you can at least get that, the idea that Toronto isn't this place they just can't win, that would be a good start. And Milwaukee, let's face it, they've been the best team in the East throughout the season. I think, you know, Giannis being the best player out there, I don't know how the other parts on that team are going to respond in the playoffs, but they're really good. And I just want to see how they match up.
Guy Fieri had courtside seats to the All-Star game. Your comments.
Fascinating. I mean, was anyone like me? I somehow ended up on the players-only broadcast, and I was, like, freaked out by the camera angle. like, it felt like playing 2K. And then I sort of, like, you know, I couldn't figure out why it was such a raw broadcast, and then I realized that the real broadcast was on TNT. But, yeah, like, a lot of celebrities courtside that didn't deserve to be there.
There were no celebrities. There was one celebrity. That's all that mattered. It was Guy Fieri. And to be quite honest, it was the best part of the All-Star game was just watching – Charles Barkley get distracted by Guy Fieri being there. At one point, I just wanted, and I like Kevin Garnett, I wanted him to shut up. I'm like, just let him just fawn over how awesome going to Flavortown would be. So I think they made a date. I think he's going to be on Triple D.
What I need is a video of Kyrie and Guy Fieri, you know, chopping it up and talking about food. I mean, Kyrie does. I don't know if he's still on that plant based diet, but that would be fascinating.
That would be fascinating. All right, Chris Forsberg, good stuff as always. We'll talk to you soon. All right, man.
Thanks, y'all.
All right, we'll talk to you. Okay, right out of the headlines. If a lot of people are waking up right now, and you did not get to see probably the more than likely the ending of what was one of the most intense, bonkers Bruins games of the season. Just unbelievable game with a great output. And as I was saying earlier, you can thank the TNR show for all the success they've had since Pucks and Paddles. And we will tell you why and go over some of the ridiculous highlights. Honestly, if you did not see the game last night, it's worth reliving it. We'll do that in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich.
Back of the net now to Brusk. Little skate ahead, separates from Couture over the line, left side into the left circle, sauced across, Krejci to the slot, fired, they score! Bring the belt to the Boston Bruins! Charlie McAvoy in overtime with the dagger! The Bruins are a perfect 3-0 on the trip! They've won six straight games, that's a season high, as they beat the Sharks in OT 6-5!
98.5 is Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Adam Jones in this morning. By the way, Chris Forsberg, who covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston, joined us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And the Bruins are now 6-0 since Pucks and Paddles. Getting a little TNR bump, as well as Jake DeBrusk, who has been absolutely on fire since we had him on the show. We were joking that every time he comes on with us, remember, it had been a long time since maybe like a three-week break that he had been off the show.
He was talking about like changing his route to practice to change things up, like driving a different route to practice just to change the mojo.
And we told him, do you realize, and we weren't joking, every time you come on the show with us, later on, like your next game, you go off. Like, I know one game he had 2 goals. The other one he had like 3 points. I mean, he always does well. And since we've had him on, he's had 4 goals in 4 games and not including the rest of the points that he made in assists. But he looks great. On top of that, last night you had some horrible reffing, but it was fast. It was exciting. And it had a controversial call, which was somewhat hysterical. So at the beginning of the game, the very first non-goal should have been a goal. It was Chris Wagner. Hits one. It goes over the line. You could very clearly tell.
Yeah, there are still shots that show that it definitely crossed the line.
It was a goal. So it's almost karma that later on in the game, one of the most egregious calls ever benefits the Bruins and, of course, Chris Wagner.
Bruins do get it out to center ice. Wagner leads it over to the far side. Carlo shoots, and Jones is save. Rebound. They score! Chris Wagner took the rebound, batted it out of midair, and then on the second attempt, he fired it home. The Bruins have tied the game at 5.
The Sharks want a high stick here on Wagner. This is going to be really close. The initial save was made. Wagner had a whack at the rebound. That stayed out. The puck popped up into the air. He reached. This might be a high stick by Wagner. It's going to be really close. The good news for the Bruins, it was called a goal at ice level. I think it's going to be a high stick, no goal, though, based on the replay I just saw.
Did he knock it into the net with a high stick? He knocks it down.
And then he puts it in.
Right.
But it's a high stick.
Is that something they can review?
But if they didn't call it a high stick on the ice, then you're right, it's not reviewable.
Yep.
It's a goal.
They couldn't review it, so it was a goal. And sure enough, it was by his eyes. He was like swatting for a bat that was loose in the house with a just like swinging, and it ended up going in. So the Bruins ended up tying it at that point.
It was a good 6 inches above his shoulders.
Oh, dude,
next to his ear. It was an egregious miss call.
You would be
awful
absolutely
call.
Blind to miss that. Yeah. I mean, and the fact that and it is kind of funny because you can't go back and call that non-goal.
Right.
And so they ended up tying the game. And once again, it was another situation where you sat there and you waited because they were up 3-0, and you're like, are they going to blow another lead? And this seems to be the MO, or it had been for at least the last several weeks. And sure enough, they protected the lead, and they have won 6 in a row. On top of that, even more impressive, it's been 3 games in 4 days, and they looked about as energized as I've seen them last night. I mean, that was fast hockey, and it was exciting. Tons of, and Char even got off the schneid. I think he scored for the first time since October, I believe. It's been that long.
Yep. Career goal 199.
Yeah, 199 last night. But, I mean, you got to feel pretty good about the Bruins, especially here, you know, with the trade deadline coming up. A lot of people have been asking whether or not Jake DeBrusk was going to be on the trading block because he was a guy that you took a look around and he had a little bit of value. Now his value has gone up, obviously, in the last couple of weeks.
Well, so,
or last week, rather.
With how well they're playing, do you think that impacts Sweeney? Well, not do you think. Do you think it should impact how Sweeney approaches the deadline?
No.
You don't?
It shouldn't, but I think it might. Don't you think they're a little more hesitant on pulling the trigger on a guy like DeBrusk?
I obviously, but you also have to remember, we talked about this earlier, the way they're playing is great, but I think when all is said and done, the third line center problem is still a problem. You don't know what Carson Coleman,
so go address it. That's what I'm saying.
They need to go and pull the trigger. Am I misunderstanding what you said?
No.
They need to attack. They need to make a deal here.
Well, it all depends on who's
available.
They can't
just stand pat.
But doesn't it make it more, I guess what I'm saying is it makes it more likely that Sweeney's aggressive. They're playing well. Like the better they're playing, the more he has to make a deal.
They can't stand pat here. I mean, the way they're playing, easy to get kind of lulled into false. Wow, they're playing this well. We don't need to make a move at the deadline. They absolutely need to make a move.
Yeah, I probably phrased it poorly. I think because they're playing so well, it makes Sweeney say, yeah, okay, now I have to go all in, if not all in at the deadline. And I got to be in at the deadline.
By the way, we can all agree Tampa Bay is the best team in the league. It's unfortunate that they're in the Bruins division.
Question.
I mean, they'd be a massive underdog if and when they play them in the second round of the playoffs again, but that shouldn't keep you from trying to get better.
By the way, the house that Gosher built, they're heading to that next. That will be the Bruins are going to be in Las Vegas tomorrow night.
Dave will be good for an early wake-up call tomorrow?
Why not? Yeah. He's probably out all night raging anyway.
Yeah, let's see if we can't get Dave.
That's the Gosher lifestyle.
Yeah, sure.
Dude, have you seen him out there? Have you seen any highlights of him on TV?
I have not.
Well, first of all, it's weird him being on TV. But,
being the sheriff.
What do you mean seen high? Like of him in the booth? Like, is he
He's TV. He does TV.
No, I understand. But is he going nuts? Like, or is it just, have I seen his goal calls?
No, it's before the game, kind of how Jack and Brick do. It's him and the sheriff.
Yeah.
And anytime I hear him, I swear to God, I can't not think of when he was doing the play-by-play of all the different movies and stuff like that. That was when he was at his absolute best.
Any excuse.
Well, dude, of course.
Of course.
What, you think I'm going to play that or something?
No, I kind of hope that's where you were headed.
I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if I could find it.
No Karate Kid?
I don't know if I can find a Karate Kid.
Race Walker? No. It's got to be something.
Well, you think maybe I might pull something like this? I wouldn't do that. I mean,
what a matchup here for the World Karate Championship between Danielson and Johnny. Arnold / Mr. Miyagi is ringside. Johnny has just taken a pop right in the nose, and Sensei is encouraging him to sweep the leg. He's going to try and sweep the leg with a vicious cheek shot, and he does. And Danielson is down on the canvas. Oh, Danielson now with a crane kick to the head of Johnny, and Johnny's down and out. And Danielson is the World Karate Champion.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 85 Sports Hub.
That looks like it is. That is human excrement. Borskin disqualified for human excrement. Back to Siberia he goes.
And, of course, the great Dave Gosher.
You got it. We see if we can wake him up tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's nothing more he wants than on a game day. To get up at 7 in the morning.
Gosher's a good guy. He'll come on with us. We had him at 9:30 tomorrow.
Okay.
He'd come on, which is, 6:30?
7. We had this debate earlier. Vegas is 2 behind, not 3 behind?
No,
Vegas is 3 behind.
Vegas is
6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Gosher would do it. Or we could do it at 6:30, and that's, he's still rolling.
Does Vegas play tonight? If Vegas plays tonight, the odds get a little harder.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, tomorrow night they play the Bruins. But, somebody just tweeted, I need the race-walking one. Somebody said, I need the bit of Dave Gosher watches TV when he watched the Felger and Mesh show. I don't even remember that.
That's very good.
Hang on, let me see.
No, they don't play tonight, so we got a chance at this.
Did he do one? Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did one with Felger. Yes, he did.
Oh, here. This might be it. Let me see.
It's a hot, lazy spring afternoon. Time to crank up the AC and maybe take a midday nap. What will put me to sleep? This will do the trick. It's a radio show on television. What the hell's the point? Who in their right mind would watch this mess? Apparently, people that buy the aluminum wallet. Looks like the two hosts are arguing the same point. They're very loud and very, very angry. You're right, Mike. You're right, Mike. My head is going to explode. And what's with all the sanitary products? Disinfectant wipes all over the place. Hospital emergency rooms aren't this clean. Whoa, there's a third member of the band. How did you sneak in? He's trying to make a point, but the other two are still agreeing about the same thing 20 minutes later. The man with a squeaky voice. I'm watching him on television, and he's watching a television. We have entered another dimension. Well, I was looking to fall asleep, and if you'd like to take a nap too, this will do it. Fact, not opinion. James Stewart, don't kill me.
Pretty good. I completely forgot he did that. It was Coach who watches TV.
Don't kill me.
Just don't kill me. All right. So I had a, just real quick, I need you to help settle something for me. So yesterday I was on the road and, you know, we were behind one of these cars that had what might have been an entire foot and a half to 2 feet of snow
on the top
of the roof. I mean, just like a giant.
Get the hell away from that car.
Of snow.
And get away from that car.
Oh, sure. And then your first thing is like, you know, I'm getting away from it because this thing's going to completely fall on top of everybody. And I started having a discussion with my wife, and my wife was just saying, now, when you have something like that much snow on the top of your car driving around, is that just a sign that you're a dumbass? Like, is that a sign of like a lack of intelligence? And I was like, you know, That's an all right theory, but I think it's more that you're just a dick.
Yeah, I agree.
You're a dick. Yeah.
I think most people, it's not that you're dumb and you don't clear it off. It's just that you know that it's there and you don't care. Right. You know,
you have dick tendencies.
So I started kind of talking about it with my wife. I was like, now there are certain things that you can see that, and I know it might be unfair, but I mean, there's certain things that immediately when you see, you say, well, this person's obviously a dumbass. Like, I mean, like things that the minute you notice it, you go, well, this person's intelligence probably isn't very high. Okay, so the first one that I ever noticed, and this is when I was growing up in Hickville in the middle of nowhere. So this would not apply to anywhere in New England. And if it does, maybe it would just apply to a greater extent. And it used to be the bigger the Confederate flag in your front yard, the dumber you are. Like, there used to be people would fly these big ones, and then they would just, you would see them, and like, all right, well, this guy's pretty dumb. However, there are two things that immediately I can tell that somebody's dumb. If number one, you're wearing pajama pants out in public.
Not sweatpants, pajama pants.
Pajama pants.
Yeah, okay. You roll into the 7-Eleven, yeah. You got guy getting a quart of milk with pajama pants on. I've seen that.
I'll wear sweatpants all day, but pajamas, you can't be wearing your pajamas.
So, sweatpants are something that, you know, sometimes you got to rock the sweatpants. You know, you're like, you're running out somewhere and you're at home, you're relaxed, like, damn it, I forgot to do this. Or you're walking the dog, you put the sweatpants on, whatever. Pajama pants are a whole different breed.
I agree.
That just says I didn't get anything higher than like a 800 on the SAT.
I'll start keeping my eyes out for that. You see it from time to time.
Just know it. I'm telling you,
like the flannel ones.
Yeah. The other one is anytime I see someone that has a decorated cell phone case.
Ooh,
yeah.
I immediately go.
You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, rocking the sparkles with the pop socket. Yeah.
Whenever I see anything that's like overly decorated.
What are you looking for, Jones?
I'm looking for Wallach's phone.
There it is.
Anytime someone has a cell phone case that has like trinkets on it or it's like overly decorated,
you
I mean,
see
yours,
genius? What do you got?
Probably not a very smart person.
I had a black one too. I kept losing it, so I got something, a little color on mine so I could spot it in an empty room.
All right. Well, those are two things that every time I see it, I just immediately go, and it might be wildly unfair and you might be Einstein, but if you're wearing pajama pants out in public,
if somebody had both, like a sparkly cell phone and flannel pajama bottoms, is it doubly dumb or do they kind of cancel each other out? Like maybe that person,
like they're so dumb they're brilliant.
No, like two negatives, the two negatives make a positive.
It could be. But I was thinking, there's got to be a definitive list of things that you immediately see and you go, this person's not very smart. And it just got me thinking. 617-779-0985. Like a word that someone uses. I mean, okay. I mean, obviously.
And again, you think the snow on the roof is not an example of that. Just somebody being a dick.
You
have dick tendencies.
Right.
Okay, that just means.
An a-hole.
That's a difference. Like, right. You're either not smart. I just think there's
I'm an a-hole, and I don't care that I'm an a-hole. I'm going to leave all this snow on my roof.
No, I'm talking about things that instantly when you see them, you go, this person's really dumb. Like it used to be like the amount of stuff you hung from your rearview mirror.
Yep.
Like it was almost like inversely proportionate to just how stupid.
Like
you were.
A guy who hung the CD in the rearview mirror.
Sure. Or like yeah. the tassel from graduating. Oh, okay. Yeah. You graduated from high school.
Good for you. All right.
Quite the accomplishment.
That's trying to show a little too hard that you're intelligent. Yeah. I do have a high school degree.
Sure. Sure. And you know what? Some of these are things I might do. Like I there's certain terms or words that I use that I sound like a dumbass when I use them, and I try to eradicate them from my vocabulary. And sometimes I misuse words like eradicate. I do that all the time. But I'm talking like surefire things where immediately when you see them, you go, this guy or girl is a dumbass.
Pajama pants. I'm going to start paying attention to pajama pants.
Oh, once you start looking,
you see
them everywhere.
Saw it last week.
No. I mean, I see people out in pajama pants. I just never really made the connection that they're morons. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, without a doubt. 617-779-0985, because I was trying to make the ultimate list. The ultimate list of things that just, because it saves everyone the effort of you having to figure out and meet somebody and to figure out whether or not they're actually dumb.
Right.
Just to know immediately from visual cues or maybe even things that the person has said.
See, my default is I just automatically think everyone's dumb. So that's my default.
You see, I don't. Like, I'll give people a chance, but there's one or two things that just go, yeah, all right. I don't think I'm going to engage in conversation with this one. 617-779-0985. We'll get to that right after John Wong's headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.